Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. This is Rebecca and I am pleased to be joined today by Renee. She's going to talk with us a little bit about her participation with the team 150K for Africa. Welcome, Renee.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. So glad to have you.
Oh, thanks. Glad to be here.
Great. So I happen to know you have a kind of fun story about how you got your team going, and wondered if you would share a little bit about your experience with so far with the 150K team.
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, I was very inspired by the idea, and you know, the first thing that I thought of was, okay, I'm going to get a team together and you know, get a whole bunch of things prepared to do that. And I was talking about that on a group call, and I was talking about how I wanted to really convey the what's happening in Africa and how important it is, and you know how much we've done, and you know I can get really excited about that. And I was kind of noodling, I would say, or kind of thinking a lot about how to prepare that and how to share it with people. And I shared that with Sherry, and then she mentioned that I didn't necessarily need to prepare, that I could just be me and share authentically my excitement about the Africa project. And
What a concept,
yeah.
Huh? What a notion.
Right. Yeah. And so it just hit me. It was just a huge insight, because I thought that, you know, I couldn't just be excited about it and share from the heart and just be whoever I was, which, you know, I was basically being told that you're great just the way you are. You're a wonderful person and you can just share from your heart. And I didn't believe that. You know, I didn't believe that I was that person that could just talk about it and be authentic and share about all the things that we do in Africa, you know. So,
well, and as soon as it was reflected to you, though, it resonated, and there it was. There was the willingness.
Yeah.
Well, and so just to kind of catch folks up on what that whole team approach is that you're doing, let me supply a few details and then we'll move on again back into the process. So we're just launching the whole Bridge Walk campaign, the whole fundraising season for our Africa project, Africa Vulnerable Children Project. And from now until the Bridge Walk in mid-October, we are invited to put together teams of people who will kind of participate and play this game with us. And the goal is to raise $150,000, which will cover all of the operating expenses of feeding 1,000 children every day for a year. And so that's the team that you are planning and noodling about. How am I going to talk to people about doing this? And then it just was suggested, hey, well, and it sounds like you've been hearing that internally, probably, you know, this loving voice. You're a really good person. You can just be yourself and put your team together, you know, share from the heart.
Yeah. Well, after the insight, it was kind of like I was changed. And then I just kept hearing, oh, I am okay just the way I am, and I can just share about Africa. I don't have to really prepare anything or do anything except just talk about it. And so I did that, and immediately – got two people on my team, and they were super excited and donated. I was 30% to my goal. I set a goal for myself and the team of $1,000 for us to raise for the project. And I immediately got two people who donated up to 30, you know, 30, including my donation. We were 30% there. So, you know, it just happened really fast. And I'm still I'm just asking authentically people ongoing, and I've got some people who are thinking about it, and a part of it is that they don't necessarily, there's not a dollar amount they have to donate. They can just join the team and be on the call with the Africa folks over there, and that maybe is a big part to talk about, is we get to be on some phone calls where we can see the folks there and talk to them. And that's super exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, so there are a couple of offerings that Sangha is making to support all of us who want to do this. And one is the four Zoom calls that we're going to have with Teresa, and maybe some of the girls from the girls program will be on there, and maybe some of the other co-op people, who knows who's going to be able, we're going to get to,
right,
to talk to and hear their stories. And that is, you know, through the modern wonder miracle of technology, we're going to get to be like, you know, sitting in the next room with them. And so that's one support. And then the other support are these weekly support calls that anybody who's participating on the 150K team can dial in and, you know, be facilitated. For those of us that have been around practice a while, the people who call into the radio show, all we know the joys of being facilitated and how it clarifies things, or just like what you were describing happened with Sherry, you just like get hit with this insight of, oh my gosh, this can happen. And that opportunity is going to be extended, that invitation extended to anybody who wants to, that's participating on any of the teams.
Yes, yes, which is huge.
Yeah.
And doing it as a team like that and that kind of support to me is just huge, and super excited about that and having that interaction with the folks in Africa and just to see them and, you know, see their faces and hear their voices. It would just be amazing. So
yeah,
I'm super excited about that. Yeah.
Well, so I'm kind of curious, Renee, because I'm in the same process as you, just in the midst of getting feedback or getting responses back from people who I've talked to. Some people are thinking about it. And I you said something a minute ago that you know, you're not asking for a particular dollar amount or whatever. So how are you thinking about what is your approach to going back to people, and, you know, or as you move forward, I guess what I'm wondering is, are you being kind of specific, or are you being more general, or how is it in your experience that you're talking to folks? Is it just sharing your stories and, you know, and like that, or?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a good question, and it's kind of new frontier for me. So, so I just am doing whatever drops in, you know, like talking about, what I love about the Africa Project is we're not doing it for them. You know, they are, I talk about how we do it in a way that is interactive and cooperative, and really they choose what we do there. We don't, and then they support themselves, and we help them. We're sort of like the support to them, and they do everything without our intervention necessarily. Like, we're not there to just throw money at them or tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I share about that piece of it because I think it's so remarkable that it's being done that way. And then I also talk about how it's a, you know, kind of what it says on the website a little bit. I throw in a few of those words, like it's an impoverished slum in, you know, Zambia, and this is what we've done so far. This is where we're headed, and these are what the girls that are graduating from high school, and they may be going to college, and we're helping them. They have jobs there at our locations, and they're working. And, you know, I talk about, and I show pictures. If I have them available, I just take them on my phone and show those pictures. You know,
that's
just whatever,
a good idea. Yeah, have the pictures.
Yeah, it's
right,
just whatever drops in. Yeah, and and it depends on what the person might be interested in. Like, certain family members have done missions, like in different countries. So I talk about, you know, how we go over there. Some of us, other people, I haven't gone, but some of the other people have gone over that are part of our group. And we go there and we check on it once a year, and we're involved there. We know what's going on. You know, it's not just kind of we're just remotely talking to them, but we're actually on site. And so it's really about letting life inform me, you know, about what to say. And to have from my heart, you know, the love that I feel for those folks and for us for doing this. And I just love that be the guiding force.
Yeah. That's exactly where I was going, because I mean, it sounds like you are aware of the program. It's deep into your heart. It's deep in, you know, and part of who you are in practice and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are so steeped in something that we love like that, we can just, you know, what is that insight needs experience or whatever. So you've looked into it, and then the insights can just drop in. Oh, let's share about this, and oh, you know, and there's this element and that, and life can sort of like playing a piece of music. Life can just sort of tap the notes that are appropriate for that particular moment, and there you are singing along, singing it out.
Yeah, and like I asked my son, you know, who I wasn't sure if he would or not, and I said, well, we get to be on a call with him. I thought he'd think it was cool to be on the call with the Africa people and, you know, to see them, and then he doesn't have a lot of money. So I said, why don't you do like, you know, $10 or $20 and you can join our team? And he was like, he just kind of looked real serious. He goes, okay, that sounds good, you know. So it just depends on, I guess, what they can do and you know, how it might appeal to them.
Yes, and the change in you is what is so, you know, that you getting to really express what you care about and not listen to the voices that would have you think you have to plan and prepare and have a PowerPoint presentation or any of that kind of stuff, that you can just allow life to lead.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really the practice element of it, isn't it?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I feel really in my heart that, I believe more that I am a really wonderful person, and before I didn't believe that. So it's such a huge change, you know, in terms of that authenticity that I feel, just that that's who I am, is that authenticity. I feel more that way, you know, than I did before I talked about this process.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's so good to hear that you've come on board with what the rest of us who know you are have known for years.
Well, thank you.
Well, I see we're already at the top of the hour. How time flies. Is there anything else you want to add before we turn it over?
No, I think that's good. That sounds.
All right.
I would just encourage people to try it, and it's okay if people don't want to, and that just to be lit up and to let that love and authenticity inform you.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah, and there's such good information on the website at livingcompassion.org/Africa, and it's one of the most beautifully done, laid out kind of web pages and campaigns that I've ever seen. So it's everything we need right there to help us along. So.
For sure.
Well,
thank you
so much, Renee. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you, Renee. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
That was a fun conversation.
Wasn't it? I knew you would like that a lot. This is your time. I think Michael likes this better than, I don't know, maybe not better than Christmas, but I think it's right up there, isn't it?
It's right up there. And as I've said 100 times, it's just pure goodness. There's nothing, conditioning really has to work hard to find anything wrong with it, because there's nothing
any
wrong
problem with it.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I loved most about what Renee was saying, what they were talking about, is that you know, she invites her son. He doesn't have a lot of money, you know. So how about if you just, you know, how about $10 or $20? How about $5 or $10? You know, whatever a person can do, and then we're a part of it. It's not a dollar amount. It's the participation and the open heart and just the joy of being a part of something that's just good.
Yes, the joy of being of service, of doing for the love of others, of participating.
Yes. And we all can, you know, if we approach it that way, you know, if I have to come up with something that, you know, in my world is an astronomical amount of money, then, you know, that's just going to be a hardship and it's not going to be fun at all. But if we can all come up with $20, right? Most of us can come up with $50 or $100, you know, maybe not out of the amount of money that's in my budget currently, but some of the things that especially Rebecca talked to us about a couple of weeks ago, some of the ideas, the fun ideas she had for raising that money and participating with other people in doing that, you know, brainstorming. Okay, well, what could we do as a team that would be really fun to do together? That's the thing Jen keeps talking about. You know, you get this team of people together, and you get to participate in this amazing process together, and then we'll raise the money that we're going to contribute. And it's just, I don't think there's anything more heart-opening than that. If there is, I hope somebody will tell me what it is, because I want to do that too.
yes. It's all good.
Yeah.
Very fun.
It's all good, yeah. Yeah.
I have announcements here, unless you want to lead us in a new direction.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Recording and listening training is a six-week conference call retreat for teaching six key skills of this valuable practice tool. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative, whether you are a new practitioner or an old-timer. And classes start August 28th and 30th. Two new group coaching offerings in September will provide support and accountability around two important topics: joyful eating beginning September 11th and parenting with the mentor beginning September 8th. Weekly group calls and email check-ins are part of these powerful coaching opportunities.
So, Michael, may I say something here in the middle of these?
Yes.
We're in an email class now, and so I read a lot of emails from people, and I ask people at the beginning of the class, please put R, and this is the way it's written, capital R, / capital L. That's the, you know, that's the formal way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's called. So I ask people to put that with what they write in if they have a recording and listening practice. And people who do. They tend to do that. And the difference between the depth of practice of people who have a recording and listening practice as compared to the people who don't is obvious.
Wow.
So I just offer that as an encouragement to anybody who, you know, is really trapped in a world of listening to hateful voices drag them around through life, that I cannot encourage strongly enough, if you want to turn that around in a really quick way, get a recording and listening practice. Get in relationship with the mentor. Get in touch with the intelligence, the wisdom that animates all human beings. Get out of that conversation and conditioned mind. Get into the present. It is the fast track. So here are these classes that people can participate in where they're going to be coached by somebody really steeped in recording and listening practice to develop those skills. They're affordable. God knows we strive to make everything in this practice so affordable that truly children could do it if they wanted to with their babysitting money. So it's not, you know, this is not a sales pitch. This is a, if you're new to practice, if you are listening to voices that say, I hate the sound of my voice, or I don't know what that is, or I just don't get it, sign up for one of these classes and get past that. There's a whole wonderful world awaiting.
It's true, Michael. It's true.
Yeah, well, I mean, we wouldn't lie to people. There's bad karma in lying to people. And so we're not going to do that. But, you know, so, I mean, where I am in the class now, I bet not one person out of 20 that I'm responding to has a recording and listening practice. And again, when you read it, you'll see that people are just stuck in suffering that is unnecessary. So we're doing awareness practice here. Avail yourself of the tools of awareness practice. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What dropped in while you were talking is that I'm often amazed by the freshness of the response of the mentor that I could not see when I moved the recorder from the right hand to the left hand to hear the mentor's response. Something comes way out of left field that's really intelligent. I'm like, thank you.
Thank you. I get it. I didn't think of that. That's wisdom, being just coming directly from we know not where and we don't even speculate. We just recognize that's the wisdom I've been seeking. It's available to us. It's kind. It's loving. It's intelligent. It's wise. It's ours for the taking.
Yes. Okay, now back to announcements.
Right. Calm me down here. Back to it.
On October 15th, we will gather in San Francisco for the 16th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project. You don't want to miss this exciting and joy-filled Sangha experience. And find out more at the Team 150K Challenge to support the Africa Project on the project's webpage at livingcompassion.org.
It's a hoot.
It is a hoot. And it, just like Jen was sharing a few weeks ago, I always do a double take on that. 16th? Really? Is it 16 years already?
We were children when we started, Michael. I don't know why they let us do it.
Our new
really
center,
were, actually.
Our new center in the San Francisco Bay Area is now open and has an exciting and full schedule of yoga, meditation, group discussions, and workshops. Information is available by emailing center@livingcompassion.org.
Yeah, and I think it's going to come out in a geographic email, but I'm doing an event at a church in San Carlos coming up at the end of the month, you know, that center is actually, technically, the address is Palo Alto, but, you know, it's so on the border that only a surveyor could tell that it's in Palo Alto and not Mountain View, so I had to say on the Mountain View Palo Alto border. Tradition. But of course, we've had the Mountain View Zen Center in Los Altos, the Mountain View Zen Center in Palo Alto. So anyway, that's where it is in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yes, and I like the new name Center because that just gets right to the point.
Right. Yeah. Come to Center.
Yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show and get in the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. And a conversation on one topic that lasts about 5 minutes is great.
Yes, perfect.
Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily. What's going on? Emily? Are you there?
Nope.
Did we lose Emily?
Like
that was the briefest.
That was quick. Oh, my goodness. Talk about Mercury in retrograde. Okay, I will keep an eye out.
Okay,
good. I will keep an eye out for Emily. And let's try another one here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Todd.
Hello, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hi. I hope Emily
What's
makes
going
it back.
On?
Oh, I just so appreciated your jag on recording and listening in between those announcements, because that
uh-huh.
is totally my experience about the depthing of practice.
Yeah.
With a daily recording and listening practice, which I've had for a while and has been a lifesaver. And I just want to do a quick little testimonial that it has truly taken me from basically living in suicidal depression to living in joy, gratitude, and appreciation.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a statement, huh?
Right.
and you know... Todd, I just want to stop and underline that, okay? Because I'm right there with you. Now, of course, I have been doing awareness practice for a long time, coming from a place of suicidal depression. And even with practice, for the many years that I did practice before recording and listening, I would periodically go into depressions. And they were not, you know, I didn't think about shooting myself again, but, you know, they were very much low energy and, you know, depression. Since recording and listening, that I have not had that experience, which is why I love that you said that. A person who has struggled with hereditary depression for most of my adult life, to be able to know that is not in my current life and to be pretty darn sure it's not going to be a part of my future life is just extraordinary. And, of course, you and I would share a deep, deep wish that everyone who struggles with anxiety or depression would devote themselves to this practice and prove to themselves that they don't have to suffer with that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even in early practice, like you said, I would maybe well into practice without a recording listening, without a solid recording listening practice, Sherry. I also, too, did often, you know, revert back to that. It felt like kind of a default position of you know, that doom, gloom, despair, and just like you said, not having the skills to turn the attention away from the voices and believing them and getting plunged into those depths of, at times, almost feeling like, you know, I don't know if I can get back. I don't know if I can get back to the light room. I'm so far gone. And now with the recording and listening, it's so rare. And like, I got to be honest with you, I cannot remember in the last 5 years a day where I've been caught in serious, you know, I can't even remember a full day being fully identified.
Yeah. And so of course, not, you know, it's not, we're not talking about lobotomies here. So there,
no.
it doesn't mean we don't practice, because we do.
Right.
Right. It's not that. I don't think either one of us is saying it. So, you know, here you go, and put all difficulties behind you. We still practice, but not trying to get out of a black hole of, you know, I really don't want to live any longer. So, thank you for that.
Yeah. No, thank you. It as you were talking about observing your participants in email class and seeing the disparity between those with a solid recording listening practice and the responses you're getting from those that don't have it, it really brought to light how deeply it has affected my practice and how it is a lifeline. And I see my recorder. I basically with earbuds in almost constantly, and it's like this. It's like returning to center, returning home. It's like you said, you know, just allow the intelligence of life, yeah, and this being to animate and be in touch with that. And as, yeah, Michael said, oftentimes I'll be two-handed and, you know, I'll just be in this place and I'm talking away and then I put it in the right hand and that's my mentor. And all of a sudden the mentor will just come up with this, you know, beautifully, you know, perspective or this whole shift that I just had no awareness of. And it's just, it's mind-boggling to re-listen to that and go, where did that come from? I had no idea. It just, that has totally shifted my whole take on it. And it's like, you know, life is infinitely wise. And I hear it. And then, like you said, it's like by proving it to yourself. And I do it daily. I you know, Project Joy, I record the assignment and I listen to it throughout the day. And then I record it at the end of the day. And we're talking this morning about practice successes. And you know, we can talk about what conditioning does, but to focus on practice successes, which recording and listening has been a huge one for me, is just that ability to turn attention away from what they're doing. Because, you know, we basically kind of know what they're doing. They're causing suffering.
Yeah.
The process of suffering.
Right.
And
right.
Recording
exactly.
And listening is the process of ending suffering. And I certainly love to live in that process of ending suffering as opposed to living in the process of suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. And to know that it's available to us.
Yes.
It's so simple. Again, anybody can afford it. If they can't,
absolutely,
goodness knows they can get in touch with me and I'll get them a recorder.
And what I love about it is anytime, anywhere, 365, you know, 24/7. Hey, I've woken up at 3 in the morning, you know, caught in it, in a bad dream or something, and I just grab my recorder and go, wow, that was really wicked. And I've got these sensations and I just start, you know, just talking on. And before I know it, I'm listening to it and I'm back to sleep. It really is.
right back here.
Yeah, back here.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks,
You're
Sherry.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us, Todd.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Todd. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right. Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Michelle in Iowa.
Well, hello,
I'm
Michelle. How you doing?
Oh, I'm awesome. I love the conversation so far, and I'm very just excited to be on. I have a great testimonial about how awesome practice is, too, because in the area of content, I launched my youngest son off to college literally just an hour ago, dropping him off to his dorm.
Michelle,
yes.
I'm having a little trouble understanding you. Michael, are you? I don't know.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah.
Sorry. Let me try to get to a better place here.
Okay, and just maybe talk a little bit slower, because sometimes when it's difficult like that. If you just talk a little slower, I can keep up with you.
Okay. We'll try this.
There. Perfect.
Okay. Thank you. So I am very happy to have this practice. On a content level, I just dropped my youngest son off to college literally an hour ago.
Wow.
And, yeah.
That's big.
It is big. And, of course, Conditioned Mind, you know, had a lot of predictions about how that would go and all kinds of things, but it really has been a beautiful practice opportunity in all the time leading up to today to really support this human and to be really plugged into to practice. It's been phenomenal. It's practice works.
This is a really reporting of practice success, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Because
it could have gone in a very different way for you and for him.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. If I can, you know, rewind a couple years ago with my other son, it was a very different experience. And I'm just so grateful to, you know, to have the connection with the mentor and then, of course, the practice and all the supports that go along with it.
Yeah, because, you know, we don't, I don't know if you think about it this way, but I think we're often not aware of how much our children worry about us.
Mm. Yeah.
And what a gift it is to them to know that we're okay. You know, yeah, I love you. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to think about you all the time. I'm probably going to want to check on you more than you really want to check on me, but I'm fine. You know, you don't have to go with any, you know, there are no strings pulling you back. Just,
exactly.
I love you, and yeah.
Yes, and I don't think that would be possible without this practice. I mean, I really don't think it would be possible to have that kind of equanimity and really, you know, mm-hmm. taking care of myself so that he doesn't feel like he has to take care of me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And to realize, stepping outside the world of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that says, if we're not clinging, if we're not desperate, if we're not jealous and fearful, we're not really loving. To realize that letting go in this way, coming to center, and living here frees us up actually to love.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we love less from center, we love more. Because nobody owes us anything. You know, we don't want anything from people. We just want them to be happy and feel love, and feel loved. That's all. Which, again, I think is a tremendous gift.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it definitely is.
Yeah, and then the a part that can sound manipulative, but it's not, it's just a byproduct, is that then those children actually want to be with us more because their parent becomes somebody that they when they were little adored, and then now move into a place of just liking and respecting and admiring as we move into that kind of relationship with one another. So instead of, oh God, I've got to get away from this clinging monster called Mom, it's no, I like her and she's provides good food, and it's fun to be at home, and she's really happy to see me. You know, she takes good care of me. I like this. Yeah?
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, so thank you for all the practice opportunities and for Sangha. Calling in tonight was part of my, you know, practice and support plan. I said, I don't care what's happening. I am calling in on the drive home.
Good
so
for
it's
you.
So, yeah, it's so beautiful to be connected with everybody. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. What a happy tale.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. Drive safely, huh?
Okay, thanks. Gotcha.
All right. Gotcha. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Michelle. Great to hear from everybody everywhere, Sherry.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Gosh, Michael,
thanks,
before
Sherry.
Long, you're going to be telling that kind of story, aren't you? Before long. Yeah.
Don't tell me.
Yeah. No, let's not think about that quite yet.
Yes. And Sherry, we're going to break and hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Zen Awareness Coaching is a great way to support ourselves as we embark on projecting joy. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we are assisted to see how we are caused to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen Awareness Coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery. We recommend coaching for people who have attended retreats with us, have some grounding in the principles and language of this practice, and are interested in deepening their awareness practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, email zenawarenesscoaches at livingcompassion.org. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
Welcome back to Open Air, and Sherry,
so,
we have another
Michael,
caller.
One second before that caller, because what Scott said there was really important. I hope people heard it, that Zen Awareness Coaching is for people who are pretty steeped in practice. And what we recommend for people who are just getting into practice, practice with us, is to do the recording and listening training, because that's the one that gives the kind of the foundation in the skills that are going to be so helpful in moving forward in practice. So just to clarify that. And I bet you have somebody else for us.
No, I was just going to reflect that. What you said is that the Zen Awareness Coaching is for people who are already steeped in practice. And if you're new to practice, a great way to get steeped is to do the recording and listening training. And we have classes starting August 28th and 30th.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Good. All right. Who you got?
Let's see. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Thank you very much. My name is Eric. I've called in before.
Hello, Eric.
I've called in for a long time.
Hi, Eric.
Hello. I've got to get this dog before it barks on you. Sorry, come on. Out. Just as you put me on, she's going to bark. Sorry. Thank you.
She's excited. What can we say?
Very much.
She's happy for you. All right.
Oh, yeah. But you won't want to hear this bark. It's wicked.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
The whole time. Yep. Anyhow, carrying on before we waste our time on this. I kind of put myself in a spot here, so I'm stuck. I guess I'd call it the dark side of practicing. I've got a number of your books. I've been on a number of the courses, the email courses. And right now I feel like I'm stuck in the middle of a half a lesson. And what I mean by that is I'm so conscious of, you know, the future doesn't matter, the present moment is what counts, that I've applied that unintentionally. But the effect is I can't get myself motivated to do anything. I'm always happy in this moment and go, that can wait till later. Does that make sense?
Okay. Oh, it makes perfect sense. And it is, of course, what we call a bamboozle. Okay?
Yes.
And the way out of that bamboozle is pretty simple. And that is that there is always something that life is unfolding for you in a moment. There just is. It is true for all of us all the time. We come into existence with the moment. Okay? And so the difficulty that people get into is that ego always wants to do something else. Okay? So your little pooch there just simply responds to the life force that's animating her. Okay? That she doesn't have a to-do list or a I don't want to list. It's just whatever life offers, she is responsive to. And so in that way, we want to emulate her relationship with life, right? So as you stop looking to conditioned mind for its preferences, then you will realize that before that, oh, I'm happy with this, I'll do that later. Before that conversation starts, there was an impulse from life. Something dropped in for you. I don't know what your life is like, so I don't know what might drop in, but it could be something like, take that, go get that stuff out of the back of the car, or sweep the deck, or write up that report, or call that person, right? And so there's that impulse that we, as we talk about it, drops in. It just appears in your head. And then there's a rebuttal. Okay? Now, generally speaking, that first one, it doesn't come in full sentences. So it would be along the lines of the report. And you know that means write that report. Right? There's no, All right, Eric. You have 15 minutes now. That's plenty of time to write that report. Get out the computer, sit down there, and write that report. No, that's conditioned mind.
Yeah.
Okay? So it just drops in, and then here comes the, oh, well, yeah, but, you know, I'm really happy now doing, or you're having a really good time here. You can do that later.
Yeah.
So learning to distinguish between those two is the way out of your stuck.
And that's the trick, isn't it?
Yep. Yep. And so what we have to do, of course, is practice being present enough to watch that progression. And once you get interested in seeing it, in fact, you can even say, you hear the voice go, I'm happy doing this. I'll do that later. You will know when that catches your attention what it's reacting to. You'll know what dropped in that it's saying no to. And so you just get up and do that.
That's good. Then I'm on the right path. I thought something like this was happening, but going so quick I wasn't seeing it. I'm just the beginning and
yep.
the end, and I'm missing that process. So is there anything you can suggest that would help me catch that step, that bring
step? No, I think you've got it. I think you've got it. The thing that's gonna make the difference for you is, do you want to? That's what makes the difference for all of us, right? We have to want to turn that kind of process around. We have to want to be in life instead of just pleasing ego. And it sounds like you're there. So the fact that you want that is going to cause you to keep looking.
Okay.
Anytime you hear, I'll do it later. I mean, there's a big flag right there. Yeah. And as you work with that, you will notice other ways that ego is getting you bamboozled into staying with it instead of going with life.
Okay. That's tricky. Every time I think I put it away, it finds another way to sneak in there. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're welcome. Let us know what happens, huh?
I will try another approach on this. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Eric. And Sherry, I think I have Emily back here for us.
Oh, good.
From Seattle.
Oh, very good, very good.
Okay, Emily, is that you there?
Yes. Hi. Thank you.
Hi.
I don't know what happened there.
I know. We said hello, Emily, and you fell into the void, but now you're back.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Well, that's kind of the way I've been feeling, like falling into the void. I've just been, feel like I've been learning so much about how to direct my attention and having such a great first year of practice and everything, but I was calling because I was just feeling like I was getting pulled underwater by the voices.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And it just was like they just kept getting louder and louder, and I was so aware of them, and I was so aware of how painful they were and how I just was so tired of them. And
mm-hmm.
And instead of getting motivated to do something, it was I got very depressed by it. Like it just dragged me down I've been, you know, listening to recordings, and it's like I can't even concentrate on the recordings. I just
mm-hmm.
hear these voices. It's just not working. It's just not working. And it's almost like, I turn on the recording and then the voices in the head start. And I just, today I just finally flipped off the recorder. I just like, okay, yeah, it's not working.
No, that's what you don't want to do. Okay. Because you know what I'm going to say. If it weren't working, this wouldn't be happening to you. Okay.
Yeah.
If you were not if you didn't have egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate on the run, it wouldn't be doing this to you. You would just be quietly going along with what it told you to do, and the voices would be there, but they'd be in the background just ordering you around and orchestrating your life, and you wouldn't know that you had a problem. Okay? But you're going up against them. And so they're gonna try to reclaim their territory, right? And you can't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I would ask you to notice. Okay? When you're in that kind of thing that you just described, Emily really isn't there. Okay? Mm-hmm. Ego is yelling and ego is listening.
Mm-hmm.
Then ego looks to conditioned mind and says, is this working? And conditioned mind says, no, it's not working. Okay? But Emily's not there. So there's an old Zen story, okay, where this old Zen master would walk around all day long. His name was Joshu. And he would yell, Joshu! And then he would answer, yes! Okay? And so that was his way of making sure he was there. And I'm going to offer that to you, only don't say Joshu, because say Emily, okay? And so when that stuff is going on, to say, Emily, Emily, we need to hear from you, okay? We really need to hear from you. What do you need right now? What would take care of you right now?
Okay? Mm-hmm. So just to step out of that completely and wake up a little bit or something.
Yep. Because what's going to happen in that, again, as you know, but just, you know, we like to say these things over and over and over, what that's going to require is for you to become the Buddha, the unconditional love and acceptance, the wisdom, love, and compassion that can save her. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you're going to, as that Buddha nature, as that wisdom, you're going to call Emily into existence. Okay? Because that ego is just talking right over the top of her, right? She has no place in her life. She's just being drowned out. And so you're going to turn all the attention on her, and she's going to come front and center, and then it's going to be conscious, compassionate awareness talking to the authentic human being.
Okay.
Can you picture it? I got my hands here. Okay, I got my hands here. I got Buddha nature here on my right hand, and here's Emily on my left hand, and they're facing each other, you know, the eyeball to eyeball, and there is no room for that nasty insanity.
Okay. Well, so how would that look if I was actually in conversation with someone outside, and then the voices are ramping up?
You don't want to do that. No, you don't want to do that. Here's the image that you want. So, Todd was talking about it early on, about waking up in the middle of the night. So imagine that you have little Emily, you know, she's 4, maybe 5, and she wakes up in a nightmare, and she's just terrified. Absolutely terrified. And so you run in there and you grab her, and she's just inconsolable, right? She's still caught in the nightmare. And so you take her by her little shoulders and you make her look at you. And you say, Emily, 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 it's okay. I'm right here. It's all right. I'm here with you. Okay? And in that, what you're getting her to do is direct her attention, because her attention is still in the nightmare, which is why she's so hysterical. And you're requiring her to turn her attention away from that nightmare and to you. And as that happens, she begins to calm down. If her attention is allowed to go back to the nightmare, which is why you don't want to say to her, so what happened? You don't want to say that, right? Because her attention is going to go right back there to the nightmare, and she's going to get hysterical again. You keep her attention on you, as you talk her down and calm her down and get her into this moment, into this reality where you're there and she's there and everything's okay. That's what you're going to do with Emily.
Okay. So maybe a recording? Or
yes, absolutely.
A mental exercise?
Absolutely, all of that.
Okay.
All of that. And as we've heard tonight, you know, get those earbuds in and listen all the time. Now, you know, when you're around other people, egocentric karmic conditioning is going to have more access to you. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not personal. It's true with everybody all the time because we are deeply conditioned to abandon ourselves as soon as there's another person. That's why in practice, the first practice is we learn to sit in meditation facing a blank wall. Then we do walking meditation. Then we do working meditation. And the last one is out in the world with other human beings. That's the postgraduate course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So work on these with you. Get back to that stable place with you. And then just know that you're going to get wacko when you're out there with other people. That's not a problem. It's you with you that you're getting solid with.
Okay. Okay, that sounds really good.
And you'll check back in, won't you, and tell me how it's going?
Yeah.
It's going to stay after you. It is. You know, this is life and death, right? If you keep going in the direction that you're going with practice, that system is going to lose its power over you. It is, and it knows that. So it's going to ramp up with everything it's got to try to convince you it's not working, just quit. Okay? You don't want to do that. You really don't want to do that because you are winning.
Yeah, okay. So getting in touch with that. Mentor.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, you're running a marathon and you're at mile whatever it is, 22, right? And the voices are just going nuts, not because they believe you can't finish the race, but because they're afraid you're going to.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Yeah. Oh, you're so welcome.
Bye-bye.
Anytime. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. And Sherry, I always love that reminder that when the voices are going crazy, I am closest to being free.
Yes. So helpful. Yes. Yeah.
So helpful.
Yeah, if we can get that turns everything around. Then what we want to do actually is practice setting them off. Not trying to avoid them, right? Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol in San Francisco.
Hello, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
What are you up to?
Well, I guess I'm calling because I felt like conditioning was kind of getting me in a corner. And, like,
ooh.
It's easy to...
You had to get to the roundhouse?
What's the roundhouse?
That's where conditioning can't get you in a corner.
That's funny. Yeah.
It's one of my old favorite jokes. Quick to the roundhouse. They can't corner us there.
I like that. Yeah, so that's why I picked up the phone, and it's a good thing to do because then I don't feel like, oh, it's just me and conditioning over here. You know?
That's right. That's right. Get the team on your side.
Yeah, there's something about breaking silence and just stepping out of, you know, your head. It's a good thing. So
it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. It is, as I'm fond of pointing out, why the Buddha left us with Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. He didn't say all you need is practice and enlightenment. He said you need a bunch of folks to do this with because otherwise it's probably not going to happen.
And I'm so grateful for it. All these calls have been just amazing. So
mm-hmm.
I I called last year. Well, I'm doing a lot of fear workshops like every weekend. And along with that, I called last year when I was getting ready to go to the retreat in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And, yeah, and I'm signed up to do it again this year, which I'm really looking forward to. And, of course, there's that. The horror stories are here again. And I call to say that because there may be other people that think, like I did, oh, there's nobody else that encounters this stuff before a retreat. And so this way, maybe somebody will know, oh, yeah, there is slack for people. And for me, there
yeah.
is. There's a lot of slack. And this is the time where it's an opportunity to not go by feelings and just say feelings are, they're not leading out. I have set an intent. I want to end suffering in this life. I am doing everything I know to face fear in whatever comes up, you know. So,
Yeah. In fact, we've been together enough that you've probably heard me say, I'm always astounded that anybody makes it to retreat because the pushback is just hideous. Right? No. You do not get to go. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of, which after listening to these calls tonight, I really feel like it's conditioning doing this, but that saying, oh, yeah, you go to those, you know, not just the retreats, but all these other things that I do to come up against my fears, you know, political things, community involvement, sports activities, different things like this, where I'm pushing the limit. And there's this sense of, well, yeah, but every time, you know, you go, you still have all those symptoms and all the same things, so it's really not working. But after what I heard you say to the previous caller, that makes me think that, no, actually, that's not true because I'm still standing and I'm still doing them.
That's right.
And I'm still going to these things even
yep.
with all of that stuff. And so
that's
not
right.
to look to, yeah, right? Not to look to,
that's right.
well, this is how it feels, so it must be wrong, that's not actually the case.
That's exactly right. And it's, you know, it's escalating, you know, it will escalate until finally it's got the end of what it can do, right? So last year, if I remember correctly, the plane was going to blow up and it was all going to be your fault, right? Was that the story?
Well, that was part of this. That was one of the horror stories. There were others,
yeah.
but that's the one that I called
yeah.
about. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it didn't happen.
It didn't.
Right. And so, you know, then it goes, well, yeah, but it will next time, you know, and then it doesn't next time. Which is not to say at some point something's not going to happen and we're not going to die because unless, yeah, well, I mean, it will.
Yeah,
we will.
Just,
everybody
at some
has,
point.
And every at some point it's going to be true. But that's not going to be, it's not going to be a mistake, right? It's
yeah.
not going to be, it's not going to be anything that we could have avoided because when you're born, you're going to die. And so, I mean, physically. So, right. So there you are. So each time it's that, you know, you're going to go out and do one of these things and it tells you this big horror story and none of that happens. And then the next time, you know, at a certain point, truly, when you get to the, you know, no, I doubt that that's going to happen. And if it does, you know what? I think I'll be fine. And
yeah,
it's lost its power.
Well, it is true. And let's see, last time you said, like, when it's giving you a no, that's really a yes. So
yeah.
that is a sense of, oh, well, this must be a good thing to try then. And so I think that's really encouraging because, it, you know, there's discomfort. I'm not going to lie, you know, but that's not the end of the story.
That's
you know?
Exactly right. Because what you're really learning in all of this, I would suggest, is that you are the awareness that's aware of it. So there's all that karma, all that conditioning, there's ego, it's doing what it's doing, and you are the awareness that is aware of it. And that that's what will, in quote, save us regardless of any circumstances in our lives, to know that what we are is the awareness, not what's having the experience.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, it's like with what we were talking about with Emily. So what that does, once we realize that we're the conscious, compassionate awareness that is aware of everything that's happening, that's what gives us that desire to help a suffering human being. So sometimes, you know, people have their experience of that when they're in pain, physical pain. And as long as they're the person who's in physical pain, kind of doomed, right? There's nothing for that except to suffer. But when you step back into the compassion, now you are in compassionate acceptance of this person's pain. You'll do anything to help that person, anything to take care of that person. And you realize you're no longer the person in pain. You are compassion.
Yeah,
and
that really
will watch themselves go back and forth between those two. You know, you identify as the person in the pain, and it's just excruciating. It's horrible. You hate it, and the voices kick in. You know, I can't stand this. You move into the compassion, and compassion is your experience, not the pain, which sounds completely wacko until you've had the experience.
So you're actually moving out of abandoning yourself over into, like, sort of coaching or
embracing.
Embracing
yourself.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
You're no longer identified with that very fragile human being. Now you're identified, in quotes, with the infinite.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's huge.
Very. Yes. Yes.
That is
and that,
very
I
huge.
Would suggest, is the process that you're actually going through. You've just never seen it that way.
I have never seen it that way. Or even thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to have that information.
Yes, because when you look at it, weekend after weekend after weekend, you are helping her not suffer in fear. Now, what would be doing that? What would be making that decision? What would be making that choice to help her through that?
Compassion.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, I see. Well, I guess that's what was sort of hidden until now. So,
yep.
That's
yep.
Helpful information. Yay.
Yes.
That real
yes,
quick.
It is. Did you, Carol, did you listen to Good News Update? Were you here for that?
Yes.
Okay. So did you hear Renee? You know, having that realization that she really is a wonderful person.
I didn't hear that.
That
I must have only
heard okay. It. Okay. Well, that's the same experience that you're having. Okay? It's moving back from a belief that I am this kind of frail, flawed, sometimes seemingly hopeless person.
Right.
To know what this actually is unconditional. It's the unconditional here to help.
So identifying
a human being. Yep.
Identifying with that unconditional as opposed
That's
to
right.
the wounded, you know, fragile
yep.
identity.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
That's the opportunity that we have as a human incarnation. That's what's available to us. And that's what you
wow.
just got.
All right. That sounds good to me. I'm going to be happy to practice with that. Thank you so much.
Yes. You are so welcome. Enjoy.
All right.
Okay, have a good afternoon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. And what a great ending to the show, Sherry.
Not bad, huh?
Compassion, the infinite, much better than the frail and flawed human being.
That's right. That's right. Isn't that just remarkable? And the thing that is so remarkable about it is that I project with Carol, and, you know, Renee described it, and I bet with you and a lot of other people. When you hear that, you know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is our experience.
Yes.
We just,
yes, it is.
Until it's kind of that moment of, oh, right. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I am. I do know that. I am having that experience.
Yes. Yeah.
It's really good.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, good night.
Good night.